RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What will the city look like when the Bears make the playoffs?
I'm just playing. Like, how far in the future are we going to have, like, flying cars by then? Is that kind of the vibe we're talking about?
I just like that, like, you know, you can open up the break however you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could just say literally whatever you want. Justin Fields, no longer in Chicago. He's not. He's in L.A. That's where they left. They left already. You can just do whatever you want here. This is great. But it is Anthony Herron. It is Gabe Ramirez. And we do get to talk about the Bears. And I want to settle in on the defensive side of the ball. And I do want to talk about, you know, what can be realistic for this Bears team. Like, I know a couple weeks ago when the Bears had those two games against Denver and Washington, people really were out here thinking the Bears had a chance to win a, you know, really large handful of games. And then you see how the Bears won on Sunday, and you think to yourself, okay, that's a recipe. You know, that's a recipe you should keep in the book and go back to often. And then when you look at the opponents that they have coming up, and you're like, yeah, you know, Justin Fields, decent quarterback. You know, Bears got a good running game. Defense looks good. Like, they could pull off some victory. Like, it wouldn't be surprising if the Bears ended up with a handful of victories.
I couldn't agree more. Now, you know, there's a delicate balance, I feel like, for where the Bears are at, where Justin Fields is at, because, I mean, the dude dislocated his thumb, popped it back into place by himself on his throwing hand. So, yeah, I don't expect to see him for, you know, we already know it's not going to be this weekend. I would not be shocked at all if it's a couple of more games, because, you know, it's an important stretch for him individually in trying to sort of solidify something in his career. And it's an important stretch for the Bears to be able to adequately evaluate him in what he can become, what he can try to solidify as a quarterback in this league. So to have him go out there, you know, barely being able to grip the ball and say, all right, grip it and rip it, Justin. Well, I can't grip it, so how can I rip it with football? Like, ripping it isn't even my thing yet, so how am I supposed to grip it and rip it? So I think that, especially now that you've seen that there is a version of offense that you can be productive with Tyson Bagent at quarterback, then there's no reason to rush Justin Fields. You know, you can continue to get more run for Bagent and see if, you know, if he continues to ascend, and there's no reason to put a cap or put a ceiling on him right now. But in the least, if he can solidify himself as saying that, yeah, this is a guy who definitively has shown himself where he can be a competent backup. And who knows, you know, if he starts showing even more where maybe he's a guy who could be evaluated as a starter I'm certainly nowhere near there yet as far as, you know, thinking he might be the long-term starter answer for the Bears, but he's at least shown competency enough through one career start to say, yeah, this is worthy of continuing to look at for a while here while Justin's throwing hand continues to get healthy, because that's key for him moving forward. It might be a little bit different if it was like, all right, Bears are in the playoff hunt here, or Justin's already got an MVP in his back pocket, he's already got his second deal, but he's still in the evaluation phase of things with his career. So I think it'd be different if it were Justin's back is bothering him, or Justin's non-throwing hand is messed up, or Justin's got a soft tissue injury. Justin's thumb is not working, is not functional on his throwing hand. He needs to keep sitting down until the thumb on his throwing hand is functional. That'll make more sense for him. It'll make more sense for the Bears. And then in the midst of that, what I would love to see is if we see consistency from Luke Getsy. That is the name I mention to you almost every time we talk Bears, every time we talk Bears offense, because I would say 3 out of the last 4 games, we've seen a game plan that looks creative, looks fluid, looks rhythmic, looks like a guy who knows how to keep the opposing defense off balance, to force them into situations of conflict, to utilize movement of the pocket where the launch point isn't stagnant like it was again against the Vikings, to utilize misdirection in the backfield, both with the run game and the pass game, to force defenders to try and honor where they should either follow a defender who's running side or follow an offensive player running sideways, or to stick with the quarterback and see where he's going to deliver the football. Or I don't know who's got it. Who did he hand it to? Because this guy's running over here and that guy's running over there. And oh no, here's Tevin Jenkins coming to pancake me. Now Deontay Foreman stepping in my chest. He's done an effective job 3 out of the last 4 games of putting the opposing defense in conflict through misdirection, through varying of tempos, through movement of the launch point. For some reason, against Minnesota, Luke Getsy went away from that. Especially in the passing attack, Luke Getsy went to a more stagnant pocket. And I don't understand why. You know, I got Fishy Business even ran the numbers on it. Kevin Fishbane in The Athletic showcased in the last 2 games against Denver and Washington, Chicago and Justin Fields were extremely effective on the move, throwing the ball outside the pocket, and then it was non-existent against the Vikings. I don't know exactly what the numbers in versus out of the pocket were the other day against the Raiders, but you did see movement and misdirection. That we have plenty of tangible evidence now that that's what suits this Bears offense. It suits either quarterback. It suits their offensive line. It allows more running games to be open, running lanes to be open to the running backs via the creativity that Luke Getsy has thrown at the opponents in 3 out of the last 4 games. From a sample size perspective, by comparison, the 2 out of those 3 games where Justin Fields was the quarterback, there were 8 touchdown passes in those games. There's well over 600 passing yards in those games against Denver and Washington. Again, Tyson Bagent, 1 career start. So I'm not saying he should be judged by the same standard as Justin Fields. But what I am pointing out to people is that Tyson Bagent is not yet the quarterback that Justin Fields is. The offense is far more explosive with Justin Fields at quarterback than it is with Tyson Bagent. That doesn't need to be perceived as a shot at Tyson Bagent. That's just what the tangible evidence obviously shows. And to me, it's 3 out of the last 4 games where Luke Getsy has put the offense in a position where they're less predictable, where the pocket is less predictable, where the run game is less predictable, where the motions are less predictable. I would like to see that offense continue with Bagent at QB up until Justin Fields is healthy enough to come back. And then I hope that version of the Bears offense is what we continue to see from there.
Yeah, we do get the opportunity to see different styles of offense, and we have over the last couple of games. Like what Luke Getsy can be capable of calling. Like what can that offense look like? And you're right. I mean, we saw some explosive moments with Justin Fields. We know Tyson Bagent was operating a certain offense. And you do want to be able to see what it can look like. Like when Justin's running it at a high level, and, you know, because I think that's what we all want, that evaluation. But and we can't help ourselves, right? In the present, you're watching Tyson Bagent.
Seems that way.
And we don't know, because we don't know what to do. We're like, what are we, like, everybody's excited. Like, what are we excited about? Like, because we got a backup quarterback? Well, that's not exciting. So what? How am I watching this game? And I think that's something that a lot of people are struggling with. They don't know how to watch these games. Or what, like, no one can just watch it for what it is. Like, a bunch of teams in a blue jersey that play for Chicago and a bunch of teams in a white jersey that play for LA. You know what I mean? Like, It has to be this another storyline that must exist.
It's very all or nothing.
Yeah,
kind of the way we view a lot of things these days. Like either something is the most amazing thing that we've ever seen, and we can't wait to watch it flourish. And the other thing is trash and it's garbage and we are done looking at it. We're sick of it. And it is the two extremes. It is very all or it is very nothing. And I'm using the collective we, of course, for those of us, just the collective sports viewership is not really in a position to just sort of sit and watch and look and evaluate and wait. You know, it's like if you got it, you better show it right away. And if you're not showing it right away, then it's an issue. And if you show a little bit of it, then somebody else comes in and they're looking different. Oh, different is good because we've been looking at you for a couple of years now. Can't wait to have something different. I was talking to you about the sort of two opposing ends of things, the two bookends. And, you know, the Jalen Johnson bookend was one thing we talked about a bit earlier in the show. But the quarterback bookends there, I found that really, really intriguing just by the fact that Brian Hoyer was one of those guys when he was the Bears' backup quarterback towards the end of Jay Cutler's time here in Chicago, where Brian Hoyer would put a good game or two together, and Brian Hoyer is trending on Twitter for how great, how rhythmic the Bears' passing offense looked by comparison to Jay Cutler, because everybody was tired of looking at Jay Cutler. Credit to Brian Hoyer, man. 15 years in the league, tens of millions of dollars made, good quarterback. Nobody's ever should have confused him with being the answer or the future for the Bears at QB. Matt Barkley trending on Twitter at different points. Jimmy Clausen, look at that pass he just completed on third down. He's different than Jay Cutler. We've seen this before. That being said, doesn't mean Justin has proven that he is the answer at QB, but I'm still in the camp of those who believe that there's more than enough time remaining for Justin Fields to still showcase what we saw a couple of games in a row against Denver, against Washington. Like if that's in him, and it's with even without the legs, you know, we didn't see him running for 100 yards against those guys. Like by comparison, last season when this offense started averaging 30 points a game, it was largely due to Justin Fields' legs being a huge part of things. It's back-to-back games where he showed special ability as a passer. That to me, like the attack portion of this passing attack and what can happen with DJ Moore and Darnell Mooney down the field, that is worthy of continuing to evaluate to see if they can access it. And if by the end of the season, Ryan Poles feels like, no, just haven't seen enough, then I think that's a fair period of time to say that either they're going to look to move on or they're going to draft somebody else and keep Justin here for some competition so you have depth at the position for next season. There's a lot of different options the Bears can still go with this thing that don't necessarily involve having to make a final decision on it by this Sunday night.
And I think that's the key, is that, you know, they don't. But I'm curious about this, Ant. Like, let's say Tyson Bagent plays this week, and then who do the Bears play the week after that? It's the Chargers, and then look that up for me,
I got
Tyler.
I'm gonna take a quick look.
So
here.
So let's say it's I think it's
Saints at the Saints.
Oh man, okay. So two decent teams. Let's say he plays above average, right? Where like he doesn't turn over the ball, he's not blowing you away. He's not throwing for 250, but he's still in that like 180 to 210 range, not turning the ball over. And then, you know, let's just say he's not even winning. Let's say that, you know, he's within a score at the end of every game, right? Mm. And then Justin comes back in. How many duds does Justin have to have before they consider taking him out? Like, or is it just you got duds? We're going to be riding with this dud till the end of the season. Like, or can there be a situation where Tyson was playing okay, and then Justin comes in, duds it up, and then they're like, nah, bruh.
Yeah, no, there's definitely that scenario there. It's just, you know, I don't think 7 games in the season were there yet, but there's 10 games to go. So depending on how many of these games coming up that Justin Fields would miss and Tyson Bagent starts and looks competent back there, then, yeah, that scenario is more than plausible. How many it is, I think it just kind of depends. Like how duddish is Justin Fields looking out there? You know, is it an offense that's putting up 6 points? Is it a passing attack that's back to, you know, 80, 90, 110 yards a game or something like that? Or is it a Denver-style game where, yeah, the Bears lose, but the passing offense is lighting things up? You just didn't get enough defense, or the team didn't finish strong enough, or something like that. So I think there's various versions of this where it's not the Bears are in a playoff hunt, but that still you can evaluate what Justin Fields is doing at the position and saying, well, yeah, I mean, he's kind of getting the job done. He's doing his task, but the team as a whole isn't necessarily rallying around him, because I think it's a big assumption to think that the version of what was seen against the Raiders at Soldier Field this past Sunday, with dominant rushing attack, all kinds of yards after the catch, because there was a historically low air yards per attempt from Tyson Bagent, but you just had backs and receivers making all kinds of plays after the catch and getting the ball near the end zone and in the end zone. All those things were equating to big-time offensive success, and then also you had a Bears defense that was completely shutting down the opponent, and so there was never a point where the Bears felt in jeopardy. They weren't trailing in the game. They certainly weren't trailing by multiple scores, as we saw pretty frequently early in the season. So all those things coalesced to make a very comfortable sort of nesting bed for Tyson Bagent. And that's good. That's a great position that they put a rookie in his first start in. But it would be a big assumption to think that that level of dominance will be seen from the Bears, from the other periphery pieces of the Bears, beyond the quarterback, week in and week out. If it's there, then hell, man, keep rolling with Tyson Bagent and the dink and dunk passing attack. But that would be a big expectation, because we've been watching this crew for a little while now. Yeah. And all those other positions dominating at that level with no pass rush, I think that's probably a bridge too far for me to think we're going to see that every week.
And that's what we were talking about earlier, Ant, where it's like, you know, everything has to go. We've been saying that about the Bears. Like, if the Bears are going to win, everything has to go right. Yeah. And that's the only way they're going to win. If they're not built to overcome adversity in real time and come back from 14, 17 points, it's just they don't have the defense to withstand it and shut down the team. Even though if the Bears didn't allow that last touchdown in the fourth quarter, they would have had six quarters without allowing a touchdown. And that is something that we hadn't seen in quite some time.
Well, DBs are healthy, man.
Yeah.
You got a healthy secondary, and they're really talented back there. Still no Eddie Jackson yet, but, I mean, between Jalen Johnson, of course, and I think Tyreek Stevenson, he started off a little bit passive in coverage early in the game and then really started to step his game up and play with more aggression after a few initial one-on-one matchups with Davante Adams, where he looked uncertain and was giving him a whole lot of space. He started to invade the personal space of Davante Adams as the game wore on. So you have both corners on the outside, Kyler Gordon doing exceptional things in that nickel slot corner position. And they ask him to do a lot, man. They move him around everywhere. The DBs blitz better than the linebackers or the D-line do, let alone what they're able to do in coverage. And then, of course, you got the enforcer on the back end in Jaquan Brisker. There's just a lot to be really excited about with a healthy Bears secondary and what that can allow them to do with the front seven.
Well, the secondary is most certainly going to have their hands full on Sunday when the Bears take on the Los Angeles Chargers. And we could talk to a gentleman who's going to let us know whether or not the 2-5 record is indicative of how good this team actually is. Ryan Dyrud, host of Believe in LA Football, joins us next to talk about the Chargers. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I have to execute better in the second half, and it just wasn't good enough, and we got to be able to put up points in the second half. Defense came up with some big stops. So it's on us in offense to be able to go down and score. And, it just didn't happen for us today.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Justin Herbert right there talking to the press after his loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score talking about some Bears and their upcoming opponent with our next guest. And he joins us on the Circuit Resort Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort Casino, Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the host of Believe in LA Football, also founder of the LA Football Network. And he's joining us right now. It's Ryan Dyrude. Ryan, I can't imagine that a 2-4 Chargers team is as bad as their record is. I've been watching the games. I know who they are. They just had some tough teams. Is that how most people in LA are looking at the Chargers, or are they kind of fed up with where they're at right now?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Well, thanks for having me. And out here in L.A., it's pretty fed up with this Chargers team, I think. The old saying goes, what you are, what your record is. And unfortunately, this team, hasn't played good as of late. I thought they rebounded after two tough losses starting 0-2, and you started to see some momentum building. The defense was improving. The offensive system that Kellen Moore was implementing looked like it was, starting to catch way, and then losing two straight in the fashion they did to the Cowboys, where the offense just absolutely disappeared. And then obviously to the Chiefs, where the offense again disappeared. The defense was non-existent in the first half. So definitely fans and a lot of people around LA are definitely sick of kind of where this team is at, unfortunately.
You mentioned Kellen Moore, and I was talking about him earlier in the show because of the Bears' backup quarterback and some questions about arm strength. So I started talking about Kellen Moore in his college career, calling some of his games back when he was at Boise State. We saw him and how he operated offensively in Dallas as the offensive coordinator, play caller for the Cowboys. What are the differences this season in the Chargers' offense that haven't been able to allow consistency?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was coming into this season, the big deficiency that everyone thought with this offense was simply Joe Lombardi and play calling, and the offensive system he was running just wasn't utilizing the skill set of A, Justin Herbert, and B, even a lot of your skill players. So you go get Kellen Moore, and the thought was, all right, here comes the explosive plays, here comes the consistent running game, here comes all this, fun play calling that we've been lacking the last, two seasons. And there's been glimpses of it. We've seen some fun stuff with Darius Davis, the young rookie out of TCU. We've seen a few explosive runs. We saw some, great running game against Miami in week 1. And then it's been bottled up, obviously, with Eckler being hurt a little bit. That didn't help, but they really haven't gotten out of their own way. And the offensive line has regressed mightily since last season. You get Rashawn Slater back from injury, who I think is one of the top tackles in the game. But overall, as a unit, the five have not played consistently. And, they lose Corey Lindsey at center. So Will Clapp is a downgrade, but still, you should be a better unit than what you're seeing. So I think Kellen Moore is still kind of building. And when you look at Justin Herbert, you know, it's his third offensive system in 4 seasons. So maybe that has something to do with it. But it definitely has not been up the level that the expectation was, considering that was deemed as the one crutch was the offensive coordinator. You'll get the shiny new one. And it really, if we're being honest, hasn't looked much better than what it did last year.
We're talking to Ryan Dyrud here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. I'm looking at this Chargers team, Ryan, and I'm really trying to figure out what the issue is, right? You have a Justin Herbert. You know, you got Keenan Allen playing really well this year. Austin Eckler, despite being injured a couple of games, I mean, he's still who he is. The defense, I mean, they're active. They're all over the place. But, I mean, if you were to point to a couple of things and where you see it, because I can't imagine it's talent. So what do you think it is for this Chargers squad?
Oh, man, it's great. It's a great question. It's the million-dollar question, because you have what you thought is all the pieces at every position. You have a coaching staff that, you know, is definitely, at this point, you know, fans are fed up with. But coming into this year, it was like, okay, we're going to give it one more shot, give it some buy-in. Players really went to bat for Brandon Staley and this entire Chargers staff. We already talked about bringing in Kellen Moore, so that was going to fix the offense. It's hard to really pinpoint exactly what's going on. I think a lot of it is execution. You know, you have a lot of talented players, but they're just not playing up to that level. Justin Herbert, most notably, who obviously is a great quarterback, and it's not, shouldn't always be on him. But when you're making $52 million a year and consider a top five talent, you know, you've got to make some of those plays and some of those reads and some of those checks that he's been, you know, lacking or checking out of or not doing consistently. And you look at defensively, and it just doesn't seem like coach and players are on the same page. I don't know if you guys talked about it before, but they ran a ton of zone in that first half against Kansas City. Brandon Staley in his press conference says, well, we actually ran quite a bit of man too. And then his own players are saying, no, we ran too much zone. So, I mean, there's definitely some discourse going on there in the locker room too. I don't know if it's trust. I don't know if it's because it's the same old song and dance with this team of, you know, here we go again, you know, 2-4. It's a preseason Super Bowl contender every single year, and they seem to kind of not live up to that hype. So there's a number of factors, but I think most notably it's just not being on the same page, these players and their coaching staff.
And you mentioned Brandon Staley there, and he's a topic that's come up here in Chicago for a brief time. He was here with the Bears, and, you know, some conversation even here on our station about if the Bears are going to hire a defensive coach, maybe it should have been a Brandon Staley type who's younger and has this more modern approach and, you know, kind of makes decisions more based off analytics and going for fourth downs. And that was where he made a lot of headlines when he first took over the Chargers, were some of those fourth down decisions. Does it feel like he in some ways is now a bit more meek about that aggression that he was known for early on? Is he still making some of those types of calls, like analytically based aggressive calls, or has that been throttled back a lot?
It's definitely throttled back a bit. I think he's still one of the more aggressive coaches in football, but it definitely isn't what it was probably in year one, or at least situationally. Like, we're not seeing those, you know, go for it on fourth and one on your own 18-yard line like you did against the Raiders in year one, which is probably for the better. But, you know, it's definitely there's still some aggression there. He talks all the time. That's the mindset of this team. That's who we are. But they definitely have gotten away from it a little bit. And, you know, there's been opportunities, you know, around midfield when, you know, you'd think they'd go for it or not. They have a really good young kicker in Cam Dicker that they, you know, I think he made a 55-yarder against the Chiefs, where that may have been one in years past where they go for it, but because knowing the strength of his leg, they go for the kick and they convert it. So I think there's some reason for getting a little more conservative. I would like to see him, you know, get a little bit back to that mantra, because I think that's what made him who he was, and that's what makes him who he is. And he's kind of lost that a little bit, that luster of, you know, really just not caring what people think and doing what you want. And now it's kind of like, you know, throttled back a little bit. We still see flashes of it, but it's not as consistent. So, you know, long answer for you, but to answer your question, yeah, definitely it's tempered down, but it still does reside there a little bit.
We are talking to host of Believe in LA Football and founder of the LA Football Network, Ryan Dyrud, here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez, along with Anthony Herron. There was a wide receiver that you guys have that, you know, I watched closely last year in college football, and I thought he was going to make a big impact. And then when Mike Williams went down, I thought he would most certainly was going to step up into that role. But it seems as though, for whatever reason, he can't seem to figure things out. Of course, I'm talking about Quentin Johnston. What can you say about him? I mean, is it just, you know, falling out of favor with the coaches? Is it him not being able to pick up the route tree properly? Like, what can you say about Quentin Johnston?
Yeah, this has been a huge point of topic out here in L.A., and we talk about it all the time. And what I will say, you know, I'm watching the tape back and seeing progression and talking to coaches, it's definitely not anything QJ is doing. I mean, he has had great separation. His route tree is there. There's many plays where he's open. For whatever reason, whether it's the way the play design is of the route progression and Justin Herbert's reads, if it's a trust factor, whatever it is, he's just not throwing it to him. I mean, you look at the top receivers, the top rookies, you know, and Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Puka Nacua, you know, all those guys are 40-plus targets. Quentin Johnson is 15. And it's not for a lack of getting open. It's not for a lack of, you know, doing his job and filling in his role. For whatever reason, Justin Herbert's just not throwing him the ball. Now, there was one instance last week where there was a route combination that it was a right-to-left flow for Justin Herbert, and so he locked on Keenan Allen, threw it to him, even though QJ was his third option, was actually wide open. So I think it's a lot of that, where just the route progressions are having him lower down on the progression line. But it's definitely not, it's not that he's not showing up. It's not that he's not doing his job. He's getting separation. I do think eventually it'll break through. I think eventually we'll see more of him. We finally saw a nice 20-yard grab last week, so I know fans are clamoring for it, and everyone likes starting to throw around that bust label, but, you know, receiver's the most contingent position on everyone else, so you can't really do a whole lot if you're not getting the ball thrown to you.
Khalil Mack is a player who's still very near and dear to a bunch of Bears fans' hearts for what he was able to accomplish over a couple of seasons here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it felt like early in the season he was kind of non-existent for the Chargers. And then he had that 6-sack game against the Raiders. And you know, folks are wondering, is he back to the old Khalil Mack, or is he still just old Khalil Mack at this point, being on the other side of 30 by several years here? What have you seen from the Chargers version of Khalil Mack this particular season?
Yeah, this season I've seen a rejuvenated Khalil Mack. I think he's played certainly better than he did over the course of last year. I think he started off really hot last year as well. I think he had a 3-sack game against the Raiders also in week one. So obviously some bad blood there against the Raiders, right? Or so, but no, I think he's played great. And, you know, Joey Bosa has been banged up. And Joey Bosa is just kind of a shell of himself. He hasn't been the same Joey Bosa that we're accustomed to. He's still a very good player. I don't want to sound disrespectful by any means. You know, still there, but he's just not on that Bosa level we've seen. They have a young kid in Tui Tuipulotu. They draft in the second round. That's really surprised a lot of people. But I think Khalil Mack has almost kind of fed off that youth of Tui and found some youth in himself. And he's been one of the most consistent defensive players, probably one of the only consistent defensive players on this roster. And it's been good to see kind of his rejuvenation this season.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, you know, you would love a little bit more productivity out of them, but hey, you guys just had a tough schedule this year. It's not as though you've had some kind of cakewalk and you're two wins into the season, because, you know, the team's playing just extremely poorly. I mean, Justin Herbert had his worst game of the season this past Sunday, but for the most part, I mean, I feel like, you know, he's still solid. What are people still in love with Justin Herbert out there and looking at him as the golden child, or is he starting to get a little side eye out there as well?
You guys need to come out here to LA and start, you know, talking to people off the ledge. This is great. All the positivity you're bringing. I love that. So, no, I mean, definitely no one's turned on Justin Herbert. The thing about this Chargers fan base, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, is that their quarterbacks are, they're with them thick and through. You go back to Dan Fouts and obviously Phillip Rivers and now Justin Herbert, and they can do no wrong. That's their guy. And so definitely there's no turning on them. You know, I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, improvement and progression over these games. But, I mean, you guys are absolutely right. They have played a murderer's row schedule. They've been in every game, so it's unfortunate they haven't been able to put all together. And I think what this team is lacking is just a full four quarters of complimentary football, which is obviously easier said than done. I mean, that's what every team strives for. But speaking specifically of that Chiefs game, you look at the first half, the offense is clicking, right? 17 points, 230-plus yards. Herbert's moving the ball well. The running game is working. The defense was non-existent, giving up 300-plus yards, 24 points. And then you go to the second half, defense completely shuts the Chiefs out until late in that first quarter. They couldn't move the ball at all. But then the offense couldn't do anything. Didn't score a single point in the second half. So when this team can put it all together, they'll be a real dangerous team. But until then, you know, that's why they're a 2-4 football team.
And from one 2-win team to another 2-win team facing each other on Sunday Night Football, there were a number of rumors that perhaps this game would or could get flexed out of it. NBC, the NFL, they decided to stick with it. But it's not going to be Justin Fields at quarterback for the Bears. And so with Tyson behind center with Justin Herbert and all those expectations continue behind center for the Chargers. Is this a game that Chargers fandom anticipates should be some sort of a cakewalk? Is there a perception of the Bears that this is kind of an easy road for the Chargers heading into Sunday night?
Well, speaking of Chargers fans specifically, I think they've learned over many years of heartbreak that no game is ever a cakewalk. And any Chargers game you want, there's usually the cardiac doctor on speed dial because there's always it comes down to one possession. I think the stats show they've played, what, 6 1 possession games already this season, or some, or 5 maybe out of the 6 have been one possession games. So I don't think it'll be a cakewalk. I think fans realize that. Tyson time out in Chicago is a lot of fun. I got to say, my managing editor here at the LA Football Network went to the same school as Tyson, so he's fired up seeing this kid get his shot and, you know, go 1-0 last week. So, yeah, no cakewalk. I mean, it's still professional football. You still got to suit him up. It's 11-on-11, and it'll be a lot of fun. And anytime you get the cities of Chicago and L.A., you can't flex out of that game, so it's going to be a good one.
So your coworker is one of the only few people that know where Shepherd College is, because most of us have zero idea where that is, Ryan. I'm going to be out there this weekend. I go out there with a bunch of my family. We're like 13 deep, so we're going to be in SoFi Stadium watching the whole thing. So I'll be excited to be out there. But I'm curious about the Believe in LA Football and the LA Football Network. Tell me a little bit about that and how people can hear you all the way out here in Chicago.
Yeah, I appreciate that. When you're out here, let me know. I'll tell you some good taco spots you can check out here in LA. But yeah, you know, appreciate that. The LA Football Network, you know, we cover obviously the four LA teams. Rough weekend last week with obviously SC and the Rams also dropping ones. But LAFBNetwork.com is the website. LAFB Network is everywhere. Twitter, our show airs out here on ESPN Radio as well on Fridays. And, you know, anywhere you get your podcast, you just search LA Football and you can find us.
Make sure you follow him at Ryan Dyrud. That's DyrudLAFB. On Twitter. Ryan, I'm about to follow you right now, so shoot me those taco wrecks, because I'm most certainly going to need those. All right, brother. Have a good one,
yes,
man,
sir.
And enjoy your weekend. But I'm most seriously am following you right now, so hit me up.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you. Have a safe travels, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, awesome. Ryan Dyrud, host of the Believe in LA Football and founder of the LA Football Network, got his hands full out there. But, Ant, I'll tell you my... If there's a number one thing we've all put a list together about, it's taco spots.
Yeah, they got some good ones, man.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'll tell you one thing. One time I went to, we were watching, this is when I went to go watch the Chargers when they were in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I went out there and I remember going to a taco spot out there and I was like, it was like, because we only wanted to go to a hood spot, right? Like, I didn't want to go to no fancy. Yeah. Like, take me where I feel uncomfortable walking around. And so I get to this spot.
Take me where somebody's going to pull a weapon on me.
Yeah. Take me where I got to, like, look over my shoulder real fast. At least 3 times. Not once. Right. Not once. That's not fun. Right. 3 times. Yeah. So I walk into this place and I'm like, I'm like, yeah, let me get some tacos. Let me get a little bit of sour cream, a little bit of lettuce. Lady didn't know what the hell I was. So I was like, I was speaking a foreign language. She's like, what? Nah, we put a salsa on top of this thing, and that's all you get. And so I was like, oh, okay. I really am in the hood. So, yeah, they don't.
If you don't get your boozy self out of here, man.
So Chicago tacos, you know, we do things a little different out here. Uh-huh. So out there, they just put a little salsa on top of San Diego. So I'm hoping for L.A. to be a bit different. I've been to L.A. a couple times, Ant, but I'm trying to think. When I went to L.A., it was just like hanging out with friends from, like, an internship. It wasn't like I wasn't kicking it. I've never gone to a club or a bar in L.A.
What are your expectations for the stadium? Because, I mean, it looks gorgeous on TV. I haven't been there yet.
I expect it to be the best stadium I've ever been to.
Uh-huh.
Not as underwhelming as Jerry's World last year. That was underwhelming, bro. I really thought I was going to see a spectacle.
Remind me, it was like too big. What was the kind of vibe?
Okay. Pros. There's a Walmart across the street. So if you're tailgating, you just got to walk across the street. That's
okay. I wasn't expecting to leave with Walmart as
well, because as a tailgate pro, it's very rare you get anything within walking distance.
Ah,
so if you need anything, like you it's a run. You know what I'm saying? So that's one. Two, like the exterior wasn't my jam, you know. And then when you got in, it was like enormous, but it just looked like a big open space.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a big open space with a big TV, and they're like, look at how crazy this stadium is. And you're like,
not a lot of kind of personality.
Yeah.
Not, a lot of
not for me, at least.
It.
Not for me, at least. Yeah, so with SoFi, I just hear how technologically advanced it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to just seeing the spectacle. The other thing, too, though, and this is why maybe we shouldn't be the best judges of stadiums, we're faded by the time we get in there. You know what I'm saying? Let's be very clear. By halftime, everyone is asleep. Like, you got to wake people up. You know what I'm saying? And then by the end of the third quarter, like, half the people are like, hey, bro, catch me in the bus. You know what I'm saying? Or catch me by the tailgate. Yeah. I'll be sleeping out there. Because either the Bears are getting their ass whooped, right? And so you want to get out of there anyway. Or you're just faded and you need your nap. And so that's just how it is. All right. We got one last segment to go before we get up out of here, man. Hang out with us. It's Anthony Herron. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You know what Tuesday means?
Free tacos?
Tacos.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Oh, we're jumping around, all right. As we only got one more segment left, Anthony Herron and I hanging out. Ant, where are you at this weekend?
I'm actually here. Well, in Evanston. Maryland has come to town to play Northwestern. I'll be there on Saturday. Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network. Had the broadcast over the weekend in Iowa City, and I took a little bit of a different approach than I normally do, because usually, well, as you know, I'm usually with you guys in studio for Unleashed, and now hit the road to head to whatever college town I got to get to. I usually do that Friday late afternoon, Friday evening, or whatever, after we finish up getting the show ready over at Fox 32. But I left Thursday night last week. A couple of factors. One, I had the show was on NBC, and they love production meetings at NBC. They love a lot of preparation leading into it. So there's all kinds of meetings and stuff. But then to be able to meet with the coaches in person on Friday, I went ahead and left on Thursday, got to town, and then also just going back to my alma mater, going back to Iowa City, my old stomping grounds, a few hours away as a drive. So I went there Thursday evening. I was able to go hang out with some friends, have some dinner, have a couple of beverages, did that Thursday night. I actually got up and went and checked out. I don't know how much you've watched Caitlin Clark, the player of the year for women's basketball, but went and checked them out Friday morning over at Carver. Just went and asked the coach if I could come check out practice, Lisa Bluter. So I went and checked out Coach Bluter and Caitlin Clark, Iowa women's basketball, Friday morning, then went and met with the coaches and players there on Friday evening before, you know, we did our thing taping Bears Unleashed later in the day on Friday. And we had a wild finish at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. I don't know if you saw the way the game between Iowa and Minnesota played out, where it was 12-10 in the fourth quarter, and Minnesota punted the ball away to Iowa with about 2 minutes left in the game. Iowa forces a punt. Minnesota punts it to this guy, Cooper DeJean. He's one of the top defensive backs and punt returners in the country. Just a few weeks ago, Cooper DeJean had actually run a punt back to basically win the game against Michigan State late in the game that was at Kinnick Stadium a few weeks ago. So he had the same scenario come up on Saturday where they punt the ball to him. He fields it off the bounce. So they kind of try to kick it towards the sideline to keep it away from him. Punt coverage team is storming down there. DeJean, as he's running over towards the ball, points both hands towards the football. The ball bounces. But as he's running at the ball pointing, it was really easy to miss in live action. Hand up. I missed it in live action myself. He starts to wave his left arm, basically giving like not a over-the-head fair catch signal, but given kind of you ever see the punt returns where they start waving the arms to tell everybody to get away from it.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a ball that might bounce in any given direction. You don't want one of your teammates on the punt return to get hit with it, because the punt coverage team will be able to field it if somebody gets hit by it. That happened to Iowa a few weeks ago in a game against Penn State. One of the blockers on their punt return team got hit with the football. Penn State recovers it. Iowa didn't get the ball. So DeJean starts waving his left arm as he's going over towards the football. It wasn't seen in live action. The official did throw a beanbag on the ground just to show, like, here's the spot of the ball that's being fielded at. Then DeJean, where he's got, there's like six guys from Minnesota who have him pinned in towards the sideline. He fields the ball off the bounce, spins away from the first guy, makes a little stutter move, and then bursts past the other like four or five guys from Minnesota up the sideline, just barely stays in bounds. Then he cuts back towards the middle of the field, weaves away from a couple other guys. 80,000 people at Kinnick are just going crazy. They're throwing popcorn and water in the air. They just think like this most magical thing ever has just happened, where Cooper DeJean has given the Hawkeyes the lead over the Gophers in this rivalry game for this big pig statue, Florida Rosedale. And, you know, Minnesota hasn't won it in like 9 years. They think Cooper DeJean just won the game with a punt return touchdown. The officials go to review. They initially start to review to see if he stayed in bounds. While they're going through that review process to see if he stayed in bounds, then it is also noticed that he's giving this waving motion with his hand. Now, the confusion is, and it's still come up after the game a little bit, I've heard from plenty of Hawkeye fans who are still frustrated with it afterwards, he did not wave his hand overhead in a fair catch, like a true fair catch sort of way, but the officials did end up ruling that he gave an invalid fair catch signal as he waved his hand sideways, kind of the what we use the term poison or Peter in
right.
football
when it happens return, all the time,
and you know, telling everybody to get away from the ball. They added this rule, I don't know, a handful of years ago, sometime in the last 5 to 7 years. Not only the fair catch over the head means you can't return it, but also the poison or Peter kind of get away from it wave means you can't return the football at that point. It's not a penalty, but it is an invalid fair catch signal, so you just have to get the ball at the spot of where you fielded at. So they ruled no touchdown, take it off the board. Iowa gets the ball back there at the 46-yard line where he first fielded it. Now, mind you, there's like a minute and 47 seconds left in the game. Iowa's got a timeout remaining, and their offense is getting the football. They're only trailing by two. So all they got to do is get in field goal range, let alone having a chance to actually score a touchdown here. Iowa came up short. Offense couldn't move the football. Minnesota wins the game. But in the interim, you got Hawkeye fans, when they take the touchdown off the board, folks throwing stuff onto the field at Kinnick. Like, it looks like, man, are they about to storm the field, try to do something to these officials or whatever. So they had to get the crowd calmed down. They restart the game. It was a really wild finish. And, of course, people were rather displeased about it afterwards. But, I mean, me being me, I'm not about to start making stuff up on TV. No matter how much I love Iowa football, I'm doing my job, man. I'm calling the game. I've called a bunch of Iowa games over the years. We had it actually, I think I retweeted. We actually had a really nice rating too. We had a couple million people watching the game at its peak. So it was a fun game to call, to be back in Iowa City. Unfortunately, the Hawkeyes did not come out on the winning end, but they'll be okay. They got a lot of games left to play. They're going to make a bowl. They'll win some more. They might win the Big Ten West Division, but it's always a good time to be back at Kinnick calling the action.
Yeah, I saw that game. I saw that play specifically, and it most certainly looked like, hey, get out the way, don't touch it. And then like, oh, here I go. And then like, go pick up. And he made some really nice moves.
Oh, man.
Some really nice moves.
He's a definite baller.
All right. Got to thank some of the ballers that were hanging out with us today. Adam Rank from the NFL Network, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic, and Ryan Dyrude from Believe Network hanging out. I want to thank our producer, Tyler Buterball, today. Sorry, you can't curse back there because you didn't have it ready to go. And then I think I'm going to hang out with you for a little bit longer. But that's all right. Tyler Buterball.
Buterball.
Perfect.
Buterball is all one name.
Buterball. The newly married Tyler Buterball.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Just got married, man.
Tyler, I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Just got hitched.
Got hitched, had a fresh suit on. Check him out on Twitter, man. Look great. All right. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. BetMGM tonight is up next. For Gabe Ramirez, for Anthony Herron, this is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
That was awesome. That was f***ing awesome.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings.
Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
We're back live with more of Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Oh, we're jumping around, all right. As we only got one more segment left, Anthony Herron and I hanging out. Ant, where you at this weekend?
I'm actually here. Well, in Evanston. Maryland has come to town to play Northwestern. So I'll be there on Saturday. Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network. Had the broadcast over the weekend in Iowa City. And I took a little bit of a different approach than I normally do. Because usually, well, as you know, I'm usually with you guys in the studio for Unleashed. And now hit the road to head to whatever college town I got to get to. I usually do that Friday late afternoon, Friday evening or whatever after we finish up getting the show ready over at Fox 32. But I left Thursday night last week. A couple of factors. One, I had the show was on NBC, and they love production meetings at NBC. They love a lot of preparation leading into it. So there's all kinds of meetings and stuff. But then to be able to meet with the coaches in person on Friday, I went ahead and left on Thursday, got to town, and then also just going back to my alma mater, going back to Iowa City, my old stomping grounds, a few hours away as a drive. So I went there Thursday evening. I was able to go hang out with some friends, have some dinner, have a couple of beverages, did that Thursday night. I actually got up and went and checked out. I don't know how much you've watched Caitlin Clark, the player of the year for women's basketball, but went and checked them out Friday morning over at Carver. Just went and asked the coach if I could come check out practice, Lisa Bluter. So I went and checked out Coach Bluter and Caitlin Clark, Iowa women's basketball Friday morning, then went and met with the coaches and players there on Friday evening before, you know, we did our thing taping Bears Unleashed later in the day on Friday. And we had a wild finish at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. I don't know if you saw the way the game between Iowa and Minnesota played out, where it was 12-10 in the fourth quarter. And Minnesota punted the ball away to Iowa with about 2 minutes left in the game. Iowa forces a punt. Minnesota punts it to this guy, Cooper DeJean. He's one of the top defensive backs and punt returners in the country. Just a few weeks ago, Cooper DeJean had actually run a punt back to basically win the game against Michigan State late in the game that was at Kinnick Stadium a few weeks ago. So he had the same scenario come up on Saturday. where they punt the ball to him, he fields it off the bounce. So they kind of try to kick it towards the sideline to keep it away from him. Punt coverage team is storming down there. DeJean, as he's running over towards the ball, points both hands towards the football. The ball bounces. But as he's running at the ball pointing, it was really easy to miss in live action. Hand up. I missed it in live action myself. He starts to wave his left arm, basically giving like not a over the head fair catch signal, but given kind of the, you ever see the punt returns where they start waving the arms to tell everybody to get away from it.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a ball that might bounce in any given direction. You don't want one of your teammates on the punt return to get hit with it because the punt coverage team will be able to field it if somebody gets hit by it. That happened to Iowa a few weeks ago in a game against Penn State. One of the blockers on their punt return team got hit with the football. Penn State recovers it. Iowa didn't get the ball. So DeJean starts waving his left arm as he's going over towards the football. It wasn't seen in live action. The official did throw a beanbag on the ground just to show, like, here's the spot of the ball that's being fielded at. Then DeJean, where he's got, there's like six guys from Minnesota who have him pinned in towards the sideline. He fields the ball off the bounce, spins away from the first guy, makes a little stutter move, and then bursts past the other like four or five guys from Minnesota up the sideline, just barely stays in bounds. Then he cuts back towards the middle of the field, weaves away from a couple other guys. 80,000 people at Kinnick are just going crazy. They're throwing popcorn and water in the air. They just think like this most magical thing ever has just happened, where Cooper DeJean has given the Hawkeyes the lead over the Gophers in this rivalry game for this big pig statue, Florida Rosedale. And you know, Minnesota hasn't won it in like 9 years. They think Cooper DeJean just won the game with a punt return touchdown. The officials go to review. They initially start to review to see if he stayed in bounds. While they're going through that review process to see if he stayed in bounds, then it is also noticed that he's giving this waving motion with his hand. Now, the confusion is, and it's still come up after the game a little bit, I've heard from plenty of Hawkeye fans who are still frustrated with it afterwards. He did not wave his hand overhead in a fair catch, like a true fair catch sort of way, but the officials did end up ruling that he gave an invalid fair catch signal as he waved his hand sideways, kind of the what we use the term poison or Peter in
right.
football
when you're the return. It happens all the time.
And, you know, telling everybody to get away from the ball. They added this rule, I don't know, a handful of years ago, sometime in the last 5 to 7 years. Not only the fair catch over the head means you can't return it, but also the poison or Peter kind of get away from it wave means you can't return the football at that point. It's not a penalty, but it is an invalid fair catch signal, so you just have to get the ball at the spot of where you fielded at. So they rule no touchdown, take it off the board. Iowa gets the ball back there at the 46-yard line where he first fielded it. Now, mind you, there's like a minute and 47 seconds left in the game. Iowa's got a timeout remaining, and their offense is getting the football. They're only trailing by two. So all they got to do is get in field goal range, let alone having a chance to actually score a touchdown here. Iowa came up short. Offense couldn't move the football. Minnesota wins the game. But in the interim, you got Hawkeye fans, when they take the touchdown off the board, folks throwing stuff onto the field at Kinnick. Like, it looks like, man, are they about to storm the field, try to do something to these officials or whatever. So they had to get the crowd calmed down. They restart the game. It was a really wild finish. And, of course, people were rather displeased about it afterwards. But, I mean, me being me, I'm not about to start making stuff up on TV. No matter how much I love Iowa football, I'm doing my job, man. I'm calling the game. I've called a bunch of Iowa games over the years. We had it, actually, I think I retweeted. We actually had a really nice rating too. We had a couple million people watching the game at its peak. So it was a fun game to call to be back in Iowa City. Unfortunately, the Hawkeyes did not come out on the winning end, but they'll be okay. They got a lot of games left to play. They're going to make a bowl. They'll win some more. They might win the Big Ten West Division, but it's always a good time to be back at Kinnick calling the action.
Yeah, I saw that game. I saw that play specifically, and it most certainly looked like, hey, get out the way, don't touch it. And then like, oh, here I go. And then like, go pick up. And he made some really nice moves.
Oh, man.
Some really nice moves.
He's a definite baller.
All right. Got to thank some of the ballers that were hanging out with us today. Adam Rank from the NFL Network, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic, and Ryan Dyrude from Believe Network hanging out. I want to thank our producer, Tyler Buterball, today. Sorry, you can't curse back there because you didn't have it ready to go. And then I think I'm going to hang out with you for a little bit longer. But that's all right. Tyler Buterball.
Buterball.
Perfect.
Buterball is all one name.
Buterball. The newly married
Tyler Butterball.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Just got married, man.
Congratulations, Tyler. I didn't know that.
Tyler. Yeah. Just got hitched.
Got hitched. Had a fresh suit on. Nice. Check him out on Twitter, man. Look great. All right. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. BetMGM tonight is up next. For Gabe Ramirez, for Anthony Heron, this is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
That was awesome. That was f***ing awesome.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.